our agenda, as you can see, has several different things on it. We're going to have an overview and a question and answer session on crypto mining tonight. That has been a very hot topic in my email and text and phone call list in my district in particular, and I know Justice Allison has also had some questions. And so just to kind of calm some of the rumors, I thought that it would be really good for us to get some facts for the committee members, for the other justices, as well as the public. We are also going to have a discussion about some ARP funds, and Judge Dodson wants to talk to us about that. So are there any special reports at this time? Any old business? All right, we'll go ahead and move forward with our new business. And we will start the question and answer and overview session on the crypto mining. Do I need to have a motion for that?
No.
Okay. I want to introduce Ethan, Daniel Moorhart, and Jim Berlin. They are here, and this is a great opportunity for all of us to ask questions. We're going to start with an overview, but this is not a platform for public comments and opinions. We'll do the overview and then take questions, beginning with the committee members, followed by the other justices and then the public. I ask that you be recognized and then ask one question at a time. Please wait quietly until the entire answer is completed before we move on. Please be respectful of everyone's time and only speak 2 to 3 minutes. All right, Mr. Moorhart, would you like to get started?
Get started. So just an overview of what we're doing out there. Do I need to be on a mic or can you hear me? So just to give an overview of what we're doing, so New Ray One bought 20 acres off of 285 out near Bona. So we built, they contacted me, I'm a dirt contractor here in Faulkner County, live at Spring Hill. They contacted me about building a pad for it. I had no idea what crypto mining was when they contacted me. But I do build pads. So we started going through this process since then. I've developed a real good relationship with them, and we're doing several jobs across the Arkansas. So what it involves is a 2-acre pad. This particular pad is 15 megs, is that correct? 14 megs, excuse me. 14 megs of power. So there is a considerable amount of power that comes into this site that a lot of people have seen the construction of it coming in. It involves 21 ant boxes, or more or less shipping containers that are 20 foot long, 8 foot wide, 8 foot tall. They house 207 computers apiece. There's 414 little computer fans about this big in there. So what they do with that is basically run those computers 24 hours a day. They run algorithms that solve very complicated mathematical problems that they get cryptocurrency from. They get rewarded cryptocurrency from because they're providing a blockchain, which is like security for the cryptocurrency. And that's kind of a 30,000-foot overview look at what they do without me confusing myself and everyone else here on it, because I don't own any cryptocurrency. So anyways, to make a long story short, we're right now, all of the containers are on site. There are no computers on site. They started the fencing around the site. We are starting the plumbing work this week. The electrical work is supposed to be done at the end of this week, first of next week. We expect to be up and operational probably in 2 to 4 weeks, something like that. So a lot of the concern, the calls that I've been getting is first, noise. So the level of noise that we're seeing from these sites, and I'll be at one on Friday in Newport. They have one up and running there. There's one up and running in Morrilton. So for myself, just so I would know, I bought a decimal meter and I went to these sites. So they're running anywhere from in the low to mid-70s. when you're right up in the site, if you get over at the fence and reach towards them, you can sometimes see high 70s. At 324 feet, which is what I measured with my phone from the site, I was getting readings of like 40s, 45, something like that. In fact, the traffic going by me on the highway was louder than I had to wait for brakes in the traffic to get a good reading. So, but I was standing right beside the highway. So, anyway, so that's kind of the noise level concern. That's what kind of noise that it will make. Mary asked me to get a letter, and I apologize. I didn't, John, if he sent it to me, I've just gotten it. So, but I'm getting a letter just to show good faith that we are will, if there is problems with the noise, that we will try to put up some type of sound barrier for the people in the community. We've done that, I believe, in Bologna. We've already provided that letter to them at this last Planning Commission meeting. So, and we're going to extend that to anywhere. That's kind of the deal we have. So, hopefully the noise will not be a big problem. I think once it's up and running, I think people will kind of see that so not always everything on the news is exactly the way it is. The site that everybody sees off of CNN or Washington Post is like a 60 meg site. If we're talking about a 15 meg site. Also, it's older technology that uses the bigger fans, like in what would be in a chicken house almost. And, you know, they're a lot louder than our little computer fans. And those computer fans are no different than a desktop that you would have at your house, the fan. There's just a lot more of them. So I don't want to downplay it. It does make noise. The decimal levels are going to be somewhere in that 70 range. And like I said, they're being pretty, we are being very transparent on what we're doing there. So the other thing that I got asked about was the water. It's just water. From city water, it goes into a tank. There's a backflow preventer, just like everything has. There are 2,000 gallon tanks on site. They have pumps in them. The pumps push the water up onto the top of the containers. They gravity flow down a curtain on top. They go out the bottle. They're collected into a line that runs back to the tank and recycled. So the only water they're losing is from evaporation or just like anywhere else, anybody's house, if a line breaks or something. They only use water when the temperature is, you know, 80, 85. That's the only time they have to cool. And what that does is the air that's sucked in from the fans actually comes down 10 degrees. So if it's 95 degrees outside, by the time it sucks it through that water curtain, it's dropped it down to 85 degrees, and that keeps the computer from overheating. The other big question, and I'm going to let Jim speak on this. Jim Garland is here, and he's retired from energy about what?
38 years.
But for 3 months?
Yeah, for about three months. Yeah.
So he was actually there when they did the tariff with the crypto miners, and he can really speak to that.
Thank you. Thank you all for letting us speak tonight. Thank you, Judge. And I don't want to turn my back to anybody, so if you can't hear me, you know. But, yeah, the one other issue that we've heard about and a concern been raised with some of the communities is the electric grid, the amount of power that these facilities use, and that it's a large user of electricity. But these facilities, Entergy Arkansas went before the Public Service Commission last fall and had a special rate contract. It's not the rate itself, but a special contract, a rate prepared for crypto mining operations. And it's a curtailable rate so that in the event that Entergy needs to curtail power, they will curtail these sites first. So these sites, what they will be called, they'll have to lower their power usage. So that is one issue there, that it is not going to be a huge draw on the electric grid. And that's one reason the sites at Bono, they're... Entergy is dictating where these sites can be because of the excess capacity in the substations. And if you've been to the Bono site, you know that's a new substation built in 2017, I believe. I was still here in Conway at the time. And so, anyway, that facility has capacity. So that's the reason they're looking at locating that particular site there across from the substation. Same in some other areas where they're looking. There's excess capacity. So that is a good thing. It's an efficient use of the electricity and the capacity in that substation. That really benefits all ratepayers. It helps the system to operate more efficiently. You don't have excess capacity sitting out there that no one's paying for. So again, that has been a concern that we've heard about the electricity. I just don't see it being a concern. And so if you've got questions, we'll be sure to address those. But I guess now, if there's any questions or concerns.
All right, we will turn that over to the committee first. Do any committee members have any questions or anything?
Ethan,
would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm sorry. Sure. Yeah, I'm Ethan Wen, just a project manager for Bono Science and other science also. So first time to learn this whole stuff is like a year ago. I feel this a bunch of containers, so I just get so excited. This must be so interesting to me, so I'm so glad to be part of it. Oh, sorry. Can you hear me?
Oh, it's on
the
tray.
All right, so I just get in touch with this industry for a year. So someone tell me there's like a bunch of containers with a lot of servers. I says, oh, it's so cool, I just want to get involved with this. So I know nothing about electricity parts because my major was business, so I'm just learning stuff while I'm doing this stuff. I'm so glad I have Daniel and Jim I'm here moved to Arkansas. So right now I'm staying in Little Rock just for this work on these projects right now. So if you have, I think Jim and Daniel, they basically covered almost everything professionally. They're really good. And just if you have any questions for me or for the company or the site, you can just let us know. Thank you.
In full transparency, I want to give a little history. I live about 6,000 feet from the facility that is going in Shady Grove, Bono area, and I started receiving calls. I'd never heard of crypto mining, and there was a lot of concern over it, not just from the people that were calling them, but myself included. And so I reached out to Judge Dotson. I also reached out to Randy Higgins, and we started investigating, trying to figure out, you know, what exactly is this, and, you know, do we have reason to be concerned? I do have to give it to these gentlemen. Within just a matter of hours of me reaching out to Daniel and asking for some explanation of what was going on, we were able to get a meeting together. Judge Dotson and Randy completely reworked their schedules. I don't know where he is. And made it to the meeting that afternoon. So it was made a top priority. We went and visited with them and, you know, got the overview, were able to ask questions. We then walked through the facility in Shady Grove and were able to see exactly what we were talking about. We then, Randy Higgins and I made an appointment and we toured the facility in Morrilton. We both wanted to hear and see what it was like up and running. And so we were able to do all of those things. And through conversation and mutual agreement, I guess, and at this point it's only verbal, I have asked for that in writing, and I am assured that I will receive that. That if it is louder and we still have complaints and concerns, that they are willing to put up a sound barrier. And we have discussed maybe using Bologna's guidelines as a guideline for our Shady Grove facility as well. So, any questions from the committee?
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, thank you. Thank you for coming and speaking to us. Chairman Coates lives about a mile from it. I live about 3 miles from it. And I've been made aware of it by phone calls. It's not in my district. Of course, it's in Chairman Coates' district, but it's close. And I am familiar with the area and the people in the area. My concern is, well, excuse me, scratch concern. my thought is, how is this going to benefit Faulkner County? This is a commerce issue. We have no noise ordinance in place to affect noises. If the citizens around the area complain of noise, then we can install you can install noise suppression devices for that. That's not a big deal. There's no cooling towers involved, the cooling system, but no cooling towers. The Wooster Water District is going to benefit from 2,000 gallons a month. But that's less than I use.
It is an efficient side on water usage.
And I also come out of the energy industry, nuclear power.
Yes, sir.
And I'm familiar with efficiencies. I'm extremely familiar with efficiencies. Going back to what I said about this as a commerce issue, more than it is anything else right now, we have no ordinance prohibiting this. Nor do I think we want an ordinance to prohibit this. How is this going to benefit Faulkner County? That's my concern.
I would say just the tax base, the investments made here will be the property tax value, that kind of thing. This is outside the city limits, so there will be no franchise fee on the electric usage, which will not flow back to the city. But the county sales tax, which is very minimal on, you know, on the electric bill or on something, even this size would be very minimal. But that would be the benefit that I would see from that standpoint, and just being a good community citizen.
So from my standpoint, being a Faulkner County citizen, it's provided work for my people, my employees. That work. Also, Coons Electric employees, Cody Johnson Construction employees. We bought gravel from Rogers Group Quarry that's in Faulkner County. We bought shale from Mr. Gary Mallett. I mean, we've rented equipment from Holmes Hardware. So, you know, most of the people involved in this are from this area. I don't know exactly. I think Coons is out of Moulton, but that's our neighbors right over the way. So the other thing, that there will be some jobs that it provides as far as IT guys. They're sourcing that out. I think somebody got interviewed this week about kind of a site manager job. There's also, they will hire, and I've spoke to a couple of the county police officers about security. They will have security there. You know, they've got a large investment of computers there, so there's a lot of money on site, so they'll definitely want to take care of that. They put up a really nice fence. I thought it was a good looking fence myself, out in front. It's not finished yet, but it'll have the same gate that matches. You know, just looking at it, they're kind of doing the right things. I can't speak on tax basis as far as, I mean, y'all probably know better than that. I can kind of give you an idea of what they're going to spend on electricity, but I don't know what the taxes will be.
So in addition to just their real estate tax, the biggest issue will be the business personal property tax that the corporation will have to pay, and which, just like every corporation that we have here in Faulkner County, whether it's West Rock or wherever, has to pay property tax on their assets that they have here in Faulkner County. So Justice Boyer, to your question, not only are we talking about sales tax issue, but I think probably the bigger issue for your school districts would be the business personal property tax would be paid.
So is that, just so I'm, no, so would that tax would be basically from the energy bill?
No, that's the value of your computers, the value of what you have in your enterprise. So
when this all started, I talked to Judge Dotson, hadn't quite made it here yet. We're still with Mr. Baker. But anyways, I'm a Faulkner County citizen. I didn't know really what Ethan was doing here, to be honest with you. But one of the things that I've told them from day one is that I wanted it to benefit the people, whether it's Faulkner County, Boone County, any county we're in. So who determines the value of that stuff that's on site?
Well, Generally, a corporation will contact the assessor and put a list of all their assets on there. They self-report. The assessor then has the ability to make an inspection or basically make sure that report is accurate, and then they grant issue the assessment based on the value that's been given. And that's the same for this corporation as it is for any corporation, but business personal property tax is separate from the real estate, but it's still a huge tax issue for any county.
So basically, in my business, I report all my vehicles, all my equipment to y'all. I've done that.
That's right.
Every year we have to either add or take away. Yeah.
That's correct.
Any additional questions?
Yeah. Can you estimate the value of 21 Connex boxes with 207 computers in each one of them running this?
You don't own the computers. So they host the computers. So the computers will be owned by individuals. So so the values that I've been given is there'll be about $5 million in the boxes and the electrical stuff that's on site. The computers, I'm not sure. I can get that for you.
I'm just curious because this may be for Phil, but would leased computers be calculated in that personal property tax also?
Yes.
So someone would have to pay the personal property tax on the computer.
That's right.
Technology assets. Okay. That's what I was.
So I would say with the computers, that's going up quite a bit, but I'd hate to even say a number.
But $5 million in property just for the electrical.
Okay, so he says $3 million for the equipment for the box and the transformers, and then Ethan, do you have an estimate for all of the computers in?
The price changes depending on the market, so it's hard to say. But for now, all the computers, if you use the most advanced computers for the whole site, I think will be $6 million to $8 million. Rough. I don't have an exact number. Based on their market right now, so
everything. So these mining computers have been a commodity that you can't get a lot of times. So that's why it has such a big spin. So if nobody's buying computers that month, and you get them for a little cheaper the next month, they might be drastically higher because of the demand.
But in this site, it sounds like the school district of Greenbrier will be collecting property taxes on about $6 million maybe in property.
Nine.
Does the county get any of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. A very small piece.
Okay.
Does the committee have any additional questions?
I do have a question. Some of the concerns I've heard have been, has this increased demand for power going to increase the rates on consumers?
No, that's the reason there is excess capacity in these substations now, and so they will not increase. It will not increase the rates on all consumers. No. And again, it's just a better, efficient, more efficient use of the equipment that's out there.
Is there a percentage of the capacity is this going to maximize capacity where increased development, say another large corporation wants to come in and invest in the community, or are they going to have, is the capacity going to be there for that to occur?
That's a good question, and they would have to look at that and see if there's capacity there. But I will say this: what Entergy, as a part of this rate, these customers, these crypto mining operations, have to pay for all the equipment needed up front. So there's no risk to the ratepayers that they're going to come in and relocate and leave equipment out there. They're paying for this equipment up front. So if they leave, they've lost their investment. So I hope that somewhat answers your question.
Do any other justices that are present have any questions? Yes, sir, Justice Train.
I guess my first question is, what kind of businesses or residential areas around the site? What's the
at Bono?
Where the site is?
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's two sites in Faulkner County. I think we were just addressing Bono tonight, or can we address both?
You can answer for both. Yeah,
okay. So at Bono, or just north of Wooster up there, there are some houses kind of, if you were standing at the front of the site looking at the highway, down the road a little bit south of there on the other side of the road, there is one house. The closest house to it's about 300 and something feet from the back of the site. And there are a few houses. It's mainly a rural area up there, a lot more pasture than there are houses.
So there's livestock there?
Yes, sir.
When you did, you said you did some noise monitoring. Did you do that? Did you do any frequency? Is it high frequency, low frequency? Do you have any?
I just use a decimal. I mean, I'm not a decimal. A dB. Just to see what it was. So the one thing that I did do, because 70 decibels didn't mean anything to me. I mean, I don't, you know, I hear it, but how do you explain that? So I went home. Just so happened, as soon as I walked in, my wife was vacuuming, believe it or not. But anyway, so I had it in my hand, so I turned it on, and it was real close to the vacuum cleaner. Her vacuum ran at 71 decibels, and me standing from me to Jim with it. So that kind of gives you an idea how loud it is. As far as frequency, I don't even know how to address that. I can try to find out.
Jet engine is 140 decibels, and for sub 140 decibels, and for the rural area is around 40 to 50. So we're like 30 feet away from the site. It's like fit in the middle.
So if you're just standing out there in the open with the decibel, you're in the 30s to 40s. Now, and that's what I found at my house in Spring Hill. Just because I needed something for me to compare it to.
May I comment? To answer Justice Strain's question about the locale, I too live in that area, close. There's a church within a quarter of a mile of the location. The rest of the area is probably floodplain. They're not going to build anything on the floodplain.
I believe the back of the 20 acres falls into the flood zone,
right.
But the rest of the property north of there does not.
Well, but my point is, to access anything near this, you're looking at property that's not going to meet expectations for development. There's not going to be any residential houses built there for a number of reasons. So I appreciate that question, because that's the first thing that popped in my mind. I got in the car and drove out there and took a look at it. I got out, excuse me, but I walked around the site. I probably shouldn't have done that without permission, but I did it. And this is before we started doing a lot of interpretations of what's being posted on social media. It's free land. There are some cows in that area, and they go to the high ground whenever it floods, and it floods.
No, not where it's at.
I'm not saying that floods where it's at. The area around there that I think Justice Strain is asking for development potential.
If I can have the audience please refrain from making comments. We need to stick with the facts, and especially for time restraints.
Now, I'm finished.
Move forward.
I'm finished.
Thank you, Justice.
Concern about the frequencies is that your sound deadening material is not as effective on low frequencies as it will be on the high frequencies. And
I can find out what the frequency is. I don't have that. That's the first time I've been asked that question. So, but we can get that and let you know. And I guess I can send that to Ms. Marion.
Industrial hygienist would be a really perfect objective for us. Like you have training and do get a shot inspection. So, and there are OSHA regulations on it also, but they're very weak, but they have the regulations.
Thank you, Justice Ryan. Any additional questions from any justices? Yes, sir. Justice
So at this point, I don't know enough about this, as I will learn more about this. But if this was in my district, the one thing I would want you guys to do is have a public meeting with the cost-benefit analysis to tell your people, our people, how this really benefits us. Because I can tell you the articles I'm reading aren't suggesting some of the things, some of the things I'm hearing, as opposed to the electrical grid being wore down and costing people around that area more. These are just articles I'm reading that suggest that that's not necessarily true. I'm not here to argue. I'm just saying that as someone who represents the people, I think a meeting needs to happen with you guys, giving the people a cost analysis benefit to figure out really does it benefit us. Because you telling us it benefits us, that's one thing. We need to see some information, some data, telling us otherwise. Am I making my point clear?
Yeah, I think your point's well made. And that's something that I think the industry would have to look at that and see. I know there's sites in Arkansas already. Again, Morrilton has a site. Newport has a site. We're going to, the people from elected officials in Harrison are going to Newport on Friday to hear from their county judge, their mayor, and their economic development person just to explain, and so they can touch and feel and know what's going on and listen to it. But I think that's a valid concern. I don't know that it would have to be kind of an industry standard, if you will, as far as cost-benefit analysis, because again, you have to take it all into consideration. Each site is sized differently, so it might be, you know, there would be some difference there. But I think that's a valid point. I will say this, and we've talked about this, probably didn't do the greatest job when this was kicked off and started. Probably should have had that that open house, that public hearing then before it actually got started, before rumors got out, and you could answer some of these concerns on the front end. And that's a lesson learned there, and that's the reason, really, at Harrison, that's the plan there is to have an open house in the community on the 18th. So, yeah, that's kind of a lesson learned there.
Just to be clear, Justice Tyler, as far as I have researched, and Philip can correct me, there are no ordinances or anything countywide, county-based, that could stop them from coming in, that could even limit, you know, what they're doing at this point. They are here addressing public concern to calm everything down. This was not required. They are not required by the county to be here or to get anything from the court. They are here to answer questions and hopefully make people feel a little bit better about everything that's going on.
I just think it'd go far.
Sure. I think that's a valid point.
Just a courtesy suggestion. Yeah. And I would hope that this was my district, which, quite frankly, this is my county.
Yeah.
It concerns me. But if it was my district and exact, I would hope to meet with you guys like Justice Coates is doing, have the public come in a different form than what we're seeing now.
Yeah. We met with the Planning Commission at Malonia 2 weeks ago now, just on Thursday, and some of the same valid concerns.
I appreciate you guys showing up.
Thank you.
Do any justices have any additional questions? And then I'll open the floor to the public.
Do y'all plan to be at the Boeing City Council meeting about that site next week?
Yes.
Okay. So, and I was there at the Planning Commission when y'all were there too. Y'all did a great job answering questions and stuff. I appreciate that. I also want to make sure everybody knows State House and House of Representatives in the Senate has just passed a bill that's really going to tie the county's hands, even if they did want to regulate this, once there's a mining operation in the county. So, just so you know. We may, even if we are of a mind to regulate this, we may not have the authority.
Once the governor has not signed it
once
yet.
The governor signs
it's on her desk.
Yes, sir. Once the governor signs it.
Yeah, once the governor signs it, but that is correct. Yes.
The good thing about these guys and that I've found is, man, when there is something and there is a question, I can't always get you the answer right then, but I can get you the answer I mean, honesty, and that's what I told him the first time that I talked to him. I said, you just got to be honest. This is what we do. Because they're worried about, one, cryptocurrency. I don't know that very many people that really understand it. I know I don't. Two, they're Chinese. I mean, and that's a big deal right now. I mean, it wasn't just a few months ago we had a balloon coming over the country. This is a little different situation. I don't want to go into any details. I've shared the details with some people, but they can't go into a lot of details because they have family in China. And it pulled on my heartstrings to hear the stories, and that's probably as far as I can go to it in a public setting.
Any additional questions from justices? All right, sir, I believe you had your hand up for a public question.
Yes.
I'll start with you.
What I'm concerned about, you talk like your little thing is in a flood.
Sir, can you introduce yourself and tell us?
Oh, Sam McCaskill. I'm sorry, I'm a landowner there. I think several landowners here. But the only flood plain is down there where you're putting the operation. And if you look at the elevation, it is not as developed land all up through there, except that place where the location of the site. Need to correct that,
because
it's not all a floodplain up there, just
that area. I agree 100% with that.
They wouldn't have built the substation there if they had been in the floodplain. You're exactly right.
Any additional questions from the public? Yes, sir.
Mickey McMillan. What's this going to do to our property value? Up or down?
I don't know that I can speak on that. I don't know that I can speak on that. There's no comps to compare it to as of right now. I mean, this is the first one in Faulkner County. Newport, I can speak on Newport. I don't know about comps as far as what it's done to the property value. They're talking to the mayor there. There's one site already there operational, and then there's another one coming because they actually have enough power for another site there, and they want it to come. So but it's in the city there.
And as far as the real estate value goes on those, you would have to comp that out, and there aren't any additional sales in Faulkner County for sure, and comparable would be hard to find. It might make the properties very close to it less desirable, which would in turn take longer for them to sell, perhaps. In other situations, people may not mind it and, you know, think, hey, I'd rather have a crypto mining place beside me than a 100-acre subdivision. So, you know, it's going to kind of go either way.
And also, how long do you see this being in our area? 3 years, 5 years?
So, I've been told 5 years, possibly 10. Everybody that I talk to is leaning towards the 5 years. But I'd hate to put my name on and say 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. That's just what I've been explained. It's around 5 years, possibly up to 10. The leases that they are doing on some properties in eastern Arkansas are 5 year leases with the option of 5 more. So that's kind of what I can tell you.
Thank you.
You bet.
Ms. Craven?
Craven Braxton, and I'm probably one of those that live less than a quarter of a mile, not in a floodplain. So I know everybody's going to correct you on that. There are several areas that are highly developable in that area, large subdivisions. Part of the deal, too, is they own 20 acres. What's going to happen to that last 18? What's going to keep us from saying they don't come in and put containers on the other 18? Obviously, you can haul in enough shale, and you can haul in enough gravel to bring it up.
Yes, ma'am.
And they sell that stuff really well. So what's going to keep them from coming in on the other 18 acres?
They would not have the electrical capacity to do that at the substation, for one thing.
But they probably have enough to do, two or three more acres?
I don't know that. I would have to. I don't know that for sure. That would be the engineers with Entergy, then their substation group and transmission determining that, and I don't have that answer right.
So then they, that's, that that noise level, that 70 decibels of 21 trailers, is going to be multiplied possibly. We're looking at 140?
No.
No. It's going to stay at 70.
Yeah.
If you put 100 trailers, it's going to stay at 70.
It's the same amount of noise. The loudness is the same.
If I have five teenagers driving five trucks, it's louder than one truck.
And it's also way over 70 decibels.
That's exactly right. But, again, five is more than one. Thank you.
Any additional questions? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Levine Lovelady, and I want to know why it was banned in China.
Because the communist government can't control it. They don't want
it. Can't be controlled. It can't be controlled here either.
That's
correct?
Right. That's right. And that's why.
So then that's why they could come in and bring more and more on that 20 acres there that would affect us that live. I don't know.
They don't have. They don't have. They don't have the power. I mean, there's not enough power there to do anymore.
Currently.
That's right.
And
but
in sense, Entergy wouldn't come in and specifically. Power
that gets back to the cost-benefit analysis there. If it was so costly to do that, they couldn't afford, Green Digital couldn't afford to do it, and Entergy's not going to do it out of the goodness of their heart to come in and add additional transformers in the substation. Somebody would have to pay for that.
I'm like the gentleman back there. I think we need some numbers on paper that live there, and we need to have a specific meeting.
All right, any additional questions? We're going to hold comments and opinions at this point, so make sure you address everything with a question.
You're making that tough on me.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Cammie Branscombe, property owner, two doors down. I was about to break ground on my dream home, a 3,000-square-foot home. My question, and it's kind of rhetorical, because I think each and every one of us need to ask ourselves, I know I've done several roofs in your neighborhood, Judge. You have a nice, quiet neighborhood, okay? Would you want this moving in two doors down from you? I now have my property up for sale. We'll see if it sells.
Do you want me to give
if
you my
want,
opinion?
Yeah, would you want that two doors down from you?
So when I bought my place, I bought in a neighborhood that had covenants and restrictions because I build stuff here in Conway, Greenbrier, wherever there is to build stuff, and I see people, and I've seen it all my life. I've seen the state of Arkansas put highways right in front of people's front yards. So that was how I handled it. So no, but that's why I bought in a neighborhood that had
covenants. Unfortunately, that's probably about the move that we'll make if we can sell our home.
All right, with that being our last question, I think time-wise, we need to go ahead and move in. We'll take this one last time.
Hi, my name is Shane Marcus, and I live two driveways down. I raise Scottish Highland cattle. They're a high-end cattle. I brought them out here from Oregon. My concern is the environmental impact of this, the carcinogens, the carbon dioxide. Apparently, I've done some homework on this, and I found that the carbon dioxide, I'm sorry, I'm nervous. The carbon
You're
dioxide,
good, me too.
The carbon dioxide from this is potentially huge. Do we have any, do I have any, because that would be from the electrical part of it.
That would be from the generating facility is where that there's not going to be carbon dioxide generated at the site.
So there are some crypto mines in different states, mainly Texas, where they have an excess of gas. If you've ever been out in West Texas and you see them burning the gas off in the air, so what they've done is they've started taking 1 megawatt generators and they've plugged it into that gas they're wasting instead of wasting the gas. So that causes some carbon dioxide. But there, unless I'm mistaken, there's no engines running. There's nothing to cause carbon dioxide, unless there's some other way of making carbon dioxide I'm not aware of.
I was just concerned because I have calves. I have heifers that have calves.
Yeah.
And the low-level noise, them not ever being able to relax, is going to, it could potentially, and I don't have proof of that yet,
Well, and I think we talked maybe one day on the phone, so I too have tried to research, you know, would this noise affect calving or any other farm animals? All I've found so far is, you know, just people saying it does. I've not found any proof of it. If you find something, I'd love for you, you have my number, I'd love for you to share it with me, because I want to know too. But everything, the news articles and stuff are pretty damning towards the crypto science, but when you start getting involved in it and seeing how they work and seeing what is being told, it's kind of like some of the other stuff on the news. Not all of it's exactly true. A lot of it's just for ratings or whatever they do it for. That's my opinion. If you come up with information on that, and like we said earlier, these guys, you know, if noise becomes a problem, I'm sure Miss Mary's going to let us know. And then,
probably the first one calling me.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got two people asking questions, and then we're going to shut it down because we still have Judge Dobson's discussion as well. But go ahead.
Where else in the county are y'all looking at putting them?
Right now, the only two spots are in the Bono area where we've been talking about, and then there's one off of Energy Way in Bologna. Oh, okay. Yes, sir.
And Miss Nathan?
Nancy Dickerson. Does the Morrilton facility have a sound barrier?
No, it does not.
Okay, so the 70 decibels is without a sound barrier?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because I know your reference to the vacuum cleaner, you wouldn't want to listen to that 24 hours a day, 7 days.
No, ma'am. And my wife does a good job of firing it up every time a ball hands off.
Okay, and the other question was about health issues and autistic children, how the sound's going to affect them.
So I can do some research on that. I just don't know. I met the young boy that lives beside it one day, and the mama, we spoke. She, they're nice people. I mean,
but knowing the medical implications of something like that at this point is not really in your wheelhouse.
I'm a dirt contractor.
Well, I do appreciate you guys all coming out tonight and answering our questions, and I appreciate, you know, all the neighbors. And one of them, and I mentioned previously, I'm not the least bit happy that it's in our neighborhood, but I'm not happy about the subdivision coming in next door either. And we can't control those things. So if you have any additional questions after the meeting, I'll be glad to visit with you and share the knowledge that I have as well. But with that being said, we're going to go ahead and move forward with the ARP discussion, and I will turn things over to Judge Dawson.
Where's the microphone? All right, so I want to, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Just press and hold the buttons
off.
There we go.
That's
great.
Now we go.
Testing 1, 2, 3. All right, so I'm Alan Dodson. I'm the county judge. What Justice Coates said stands for me too. We're not experts on this, but we'll try to get you answers. We also won't overstep our legal authority. You know, I just have to say that. So, but we'll, you know, I think this is a good forum. I think Justice Tyler's, request for another public forum is probably a good thing. I think this is a start. That's exactly what this was. So, applaud you for having this forum. So, anyway, with that, I'll move along to ARP. So I'll address the committee. ARP, I want to, of course, I'll be revealing more during the full core report meeting, but this is committee night, so I really wanted to cover ARP for you guys to get you ready for next week. So ARP, we have two categories of ARP funds, right? Encumbered and unencumbered. So for the encumbered funds, we'll be proposing a countywide communication solution for the volunteer fire departments using ARP funds. You guys know that we've addressed volunteer fire departments, tried to find some sort of appropriate and equitable, I think, for all the footprints and all the volunteer fire departments. And it's a little bit of a challenge because they've all got unique needs and unique geography, unique coverages, unique equipment needs. Some of them have more equipment than others, and so we're really excited about the communication solution. We need a seamless and uniform communication solution. We believe there's no better use for ARP funds for volunteer fire departments than that. So that's the way I've termed it. That's probably a little wordy, you know, for saying, look, they have communications needs. Let's go address them. We're really excited about the opportunity to put in a solution that benefits countywide, really even beyond volunteer fire departments. So anyway, that's for the encumbered funds. The unencumbered funds, we've identified five expenditures. You've heard all five of them at some point or other. The animal shelter, detention facility, 911, PSAP consolidation, the courthouse and justice building, those needs, which I consider to be one kind of county facilities needs, and then river levy and the adequacy of that river levy. So I'll address each one of these just briefly. With the animal shelter, we're awaiting final design, incorporating a scope that makes sense, features that make sense for us as an initial animal shelter for Faulkner County. And it's a passionate issue. We've all been seeing that in person for quite some time. And we've visited with quite a number of stakeholders out there, and we're really excited about really where we're going with that. That's doable. We're going to make it happen. So be happy to answer questions if you have those. Do want to point out that with the animal shelter and several of other of these other large expenditures are really two facets of that. How much ARP money are we going to spend on that? And then can we afford what we're going to build? And so one, it's kind of a chicken versus egg, and you know, it's kind of an iterative process, and they're big operations. Animal shelter is for one, but then when you look at the second project that I mentioned, as we know, a detention facility, anything addressing capacity there gets big in a hurry, and the impacts are permanent, really. And so we're really trying to be responsible with the solutions that we envision and that we compare. We're really trying to be, I mean, is this fair to say, looking at staff here, gosh, I can't tell you how much time we've spent on that, trying to say, okay, do we spend X dollars on it? Okay, can we afford to run that? Well, how many miles can we afford to feed? How much electricity does it take? And so it really comes down with, like I mentioned with the animal shelter, it's really two facets. How much is it going to cost to build solution X versus Y versus Z? And then how much does it cost to operate solution X versus Y versus Z? And I think it's important to say also that anything with, probably with the animal shelter too, but with the detention facility, I think what we need to envision is that we need to do something at this point in time that's only one point in time. I think we need a master plan for not only detention facility, but also every other county facility, including this courthouse, which has windows with bare wood, bare to the elements. You know, so we need a plan for now, and then a plan for step two, step three, step four. Now, for those of you who've been involved with development of the concepts for the detention facility, I think you've seen that, right? I mean, I think the concept that was originally developed, if we were to increase capacity for a detention facility, would be a hub and spoke setup that not only is more efficient to operate, you can oversee more detainees with fewer resources, but it envisions scalability. So if you can house five spokes off of a hub and you can only afford to build or operate, or build and operate two, three, or one, you could build four more, three more if it's a four-spoke concept. So, again, there are really two aspects of affordability. One, and it really is no different than if you go to buy a car, why can I afford to pay for it? But am I going to be able to insure that, put gas in it, and put tires and brakes on it. So, animal shelter and detention facility. 911 PSAP consolidation, we get really technical really quick there. I will just say two aspects once again. Upfront money, ongoing operating expenses. And in that case, it's even more complex because we're consolidating all the 911 public service answering points that exist across the county. And really you're looking at Faulkner County and the city of Conway really kind of driving that. Individually, we'll have an independent board that will oversee that. There are questions of who populates the board that the organization responds to. From a technical standpoint, I can get out of my area of expertise pretty quickly with that, but essentially we're going to have to consolidate different systems into one, and then there are communications issues on top of just the consolidation of the answering point. There are personnel issues. I think you guys have probably covered that before my time here. And the concerns, nobody wants to go fire anybody, right? And so I think the concept that is envisioned so far is one that makes sense over time through natural attrition. We don't want to fire our dispatchers. You know, we don't want to do that because we decide solution X versus solution Y. So, again, it really comes down to two aspects of any great expenditure, a very complex project that cannot fail. Right, Chief? I mean, when we dial 911, it's got to work. It's got to work. And so we're endeavoring that. The courthouse and the justice building, I will tell you a few things. As you know, we're meeting in a trial court right now. And this room was, there were many trials held in there. I think Mrs. Clausen could tell us about a few of those. Her husband seated at that bench for years. You know, we really do need to address that. This is a core court meeting room now, right? Or a multi-purpose room. We have this facility available. It's the only meeting place we really have here on the courthouse campus of this size. That meets these needs. So we don't need to forget that. I know that I shared that with you guys early on. We can't forget that. The water and the plumbing, if you go flush that toilet in there, you know what I mean. We've got to do better. We've got to do better. The windows are a big concern. I've not yet priced those, but we're going to do so very shortly. The glazing, if you're familiar with windows and glazing, it's in bad shape. Something's got to be done about it. We have two HVAC units that have R22, I believe, and that's being phased out. You can hardly service them anymore. And the next time one freezes up, we're basically, like the other day, we're basically just going to have to replace the unit. We're kind of getting by right now, but we know we've got to replace a couple of units. And they're pretty good-sized units. I will say, just kind of cryptically, the security systems at various locations, not being the jail or detention centers, but nonetheless that have security, I am not satisfied with the level of security that they currently provide us, and we're going to address that, and that will take some money. So I'll address that later. The River Lady. We all lived here in 2019. Most of us did. I assume all of us here tonight in the committee lived here, and we can't wait for another 2019 or a 2019 plus one level greater flood. We just, you know, they're building more concrete north of us and west of us over in Oklahoma every day. So that's why the floods get worse in river bottoms. We continue to build. And zero grade farms, things of that nature. So Senator Bozeman was very favorable, as was Senator Cotton and Congressman Hill, about commissioning a study. That's a, you know, I've spoken to that just a little bit, but it's a big landscape, involves the Corps of Engineers, state, federal dollars, local dollars, but we cannot ignore that, not during our time here. We have to address that. What we don't want is 3 days' notice that there's a big flood coming, and we didn't do anything about it. So, you know, I'm not sure what that is. I'm not a civil engineer. And they may say, it's okay. I know that there have been some studies on that in the past. My understanding is they don't have the paradigm that I think we should have. I don't, all levees are not the same. They're not all co-located with the city. You know? So I think we need to look at what is the potential for a bigger flood. Maybe there are some weaker areas of that levee that need to be replaced. Maybe there are some molds. Maybe it needs to be 2 feet higher. Maybe we need to build a higher levee as a second barrier. Maybe a pumping station and all that. Civil engineers can figure that out. If they say it's fine, then we'll move on. But it's incumbent upon us to look at that and make sure that we're satisfied. That 70-year-old levee or however old it is adequate for the next 50 years. It's obviously not a project that will be completed in the next 6 months or year, but we need to move the ball in that direction. I'm convinced of that. So, but anyway, that's both categories of funds, the remaining encumbered funds. The big ticket item left there would be volunteer fire departments. I think we're headed in a good direction with that communications plan there. And the other category being the unencumbered funds. And I've listed the five projects. Do you have any questions, Madam Chair?
I don't have any questions per se. I do have an update. As you well know, there has been a lot of activity since January, since both of us took office on the animal control unit and all that stuff. And so when you finish up, I would like to go ahead and give an update and show some of the progress that we've made.
Very good. Thank you. Any other questions? The committee or the audience?
Will we be getting more details? You hinted at the core meeting? Yes, sir. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Judge. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Any questions in the audience? Civil Justices, public? Thank you, Madam Chair.
As a JP, as well as being on the Animal Shelter Advisory Committee, I do want to go ahead and give you an update on where we are at. Judge Dawkins and myself began working and communicating our objectives week one. That was his first phone call to me, was let's get busy and let's get started. That's part of my personality, and I ran with that. We both agreed that time is of the essence, and a plan of progression was much better than a plan of perfection. We decided that would be the route that we would follow. I updated him on the plans that we had done under Judge Baker. As far as the needs assessment, it came in on the high side around $4.5 million to construct the facility that was needed. The advisory committee looked at that and, you know, we understood we could not afford that, so we continued to try to cut back the plans. The election took place and progress stopped. And yet again, complete transparency, there was a vet clinic property that was considered. It came up for auction in February. My husband and I do real estate investment for a living, and once I received notice of that auction, I reached out to Judge Dotson, the advisory committee, and Randy Higgins. We met the next day. Due to scheduling restraints, the advisory committee was not able to meet all at once, but we did have different, you know, we were able to go up and look at it and inspect it. You know, that's where we went for that. The judge and a few of the advisory committee members agreed that it was an option and that it would be a great opportunity to start on a small scale. The judge moved forward with this property. However, due to time restraints and the auction platform of the property, the county was not able to bid. That was a big disappointment. We did reach out to the original family that owned the facility. They declined our offer to make an offer. We also reached out to the new owners of the facility, and they let us know that purchasing that property was not an option. So we stepped back again and began considering our our options. And so after research, and I also attended the Animal Welfare Conference, I became aware of a type of kennel that utilizes above-ground kennels. Above-ground plumbing, excuse me. And if you all remember, the existing building has flat concrete floors that were not optimal for those, for built-in kennels and plumbing. Judge Dotson, Randy, and myself, we met with Rick Stile and Emily, and we began to move forward with creating a very basic, simple plan that would utilize the existing property while keeping costs down. Emily and I toured Bryant Animal Control to view the kennels and their setups. She and I have been working for several weeks on a cost-efficient plan. We do not have a final plan, but I can show you where we're at and the progress that we have made so far. And I believe there are, we can put that up on the screen, and I also have a few copies of that. Unfortunately, even with that not being our final plan, we were really hopeful that we could construct the facility with around $1 million. That's what we were hopeful of. Even with cutting back and removing HVAC in the kennel work area and no additional aesthetic work being done on the exterior, the bare bones plan came in at $1.5 million. And you can also put that budget is up there. And I also have copies of that if you'd like to look at it. We're going to continue to attempt to get that down. And I'm hopeful that the court will see fit to earmark $1 million, perhaps slightly more, from the ARP money for the construction of that shelter. That will leave the $1.5 million from the Animal Control Fund to operate the shelter for approximately 3 to 5 years. The animal community has told us repeatedly that they believe people will step up and fund an existing shelter. This will give them the opportunity and the time to do that. We have the approximately $140,000 per year additionally that will come in that will also help, and we are hopeful that that will increase once the shelter is up and running. With the shelter plan and the budget as it stands, the county will have to implement a strategic managed intake approach. This means that the facility will be created to support law enforcement and to help the people of Faulkner County with animal issues. Unfortunately, it will not have the capacity to take in owner surrenders at this point. The facility will not have the capabilities or funds to operate as a rescue center. Under the direction of a facility coordinator, the shelter can create a network with volunteers and fosters to help bear that burden. I hope to be able to present a more detailed plan and budget next month for our committee meetings, but I just wanted the public as well as the committee to know we are working, we are close. We just have to get a plan and move forward with something that our county can afford and with a business plan in place. Does anybody, any committee members have any questions? Any other justices? All right, with that being said, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right, thank you all.